Blog Talk Radio.
You know, in 1945, the month of May, my dad's ship, the USS Bunker Hill, had two kamikazes hit it midship in about 30 seconds. So there was one kamikaze aircraft hit midship, and then within 30 seconds, the second one hit. And they took two hits off the coast of Japan. And it was one of the worst, yet miraculous things that happened. There were so many killed. I can't remember exactly the number. I should probably put that down so I can have it in my head. But hundreds killed, hundreds wounded. And then they were, like I said, off the coast of Japan. And the ship began to list. In other words, tilt, so it wasn't floating flat. It was a pretty good tilt, 20 degrees. I can't remember exactly what list. But they limped that ship all the way back to Bremerton, Washington, from Japan, and so they were in quote battle mode, yet casual. In other words, they were all shell shocked. There was a lot of people hurt, and their people died on the way back. There was just a horrific situation. But they were able to get the ship back and actually repaired. It didn't make it back into the war because the war was over soon after, but it was actually recommissioned and used, and that ship was actually used during Korea and even into Vietnam, and then they eventually, you know, tore it apart. They actually tore it apart. But I was just thinking about that because this month has a lot of different things for us in our family and in our state. Yesterday was the anniversary, 35th anniversary of the Mount St. Helens erupting, which was just a phenomenally bizarre thing to hear that, to wake up on that morning and hear an explosion. Actually, multiple explosions, but whether it was one explosion that echoed, we don't know, but it is quite a distance away from us, hundreds of miles away from us. It sounded like somebody was blowing dynamite right outside our window, and it was just a bizarre thing, and it's so close to our son's birthday, which is 2 days before, and he was just a little guy. You know, he was 7 years old, and he just turned seven, and Mountain blew up 35 years ago. And just to boil that up even more, you know, May it's just kind of an introduction, getting ready for summer, and all these bizarre things happen. And I'm looking at that thinking, wow, there's always bizarre things happening. There's, regardless of whether it was 70 years ago, 50 years ago, 20 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, there's just things that are happening. And it doesn't, you know, just happen in May, but it just, you know, we look at time and how we mark time. And we tend to think that when bad things happen, the end is there. I mean, that's the end. The whole end of the world. For a little kid, their little fort falls apart, or their little thing they're building breaks. A bad thing happens, and it's like the whole world is coming to the end. But we need to stop and remember. Sunday, I preached on a particular topic, but that it was interesting to think that we build our life on comments made by people that sound good. And if we do that as a Christian and we say we're doing this in a godly way, and we find out it's not biblical what we're saying. In fact, just the opposite. In other words, God never takes us into trouble, but he'll always take you through it. I mean, I'm sorry, but God takes us to trouble a lot. He took Jesus to trouble. He took Moses to trouble. He took Jonah to trouble. He took Isaiah. He took Jeremiah, he took many people to trouble. And yes, he did take them through. But when we negate the fact that he takes us to trouble, what we end up doing is taking all the bad things that ever happened, rebuking them and saying, this is not of God, this is not of God, when in all reality, it might be. I love what I heard yesterday when Robert Morris was preaching, and I asked you if you guys, you know, I told you, you know, go to Gateway and watch his message called The Physician, talking about Jesus, the aspect of his being a physician, and that God heals naturally. I thought he was going to say naturally, medically, and supernaturally. But what he did was he said naturally, medically, and miraculously. Because the miraculous part is something that doctors can't even, they can't tell you why it happened. Yes, it's supernatural, but they can't tell you why. So it's doctors will say miracle before a lot of religious people or even just people say it. And it happened in my life. There was a miraculous healing of my neck, and the doctor said, we can't tell you anything other than it's miraculous. We didn't do anything. Took pictures one day and took them the next. That's all they did. Well, when we look at that whole situation of how God does things, every single one of us, again, have been healed naturally. Because if we had not been healed naturally, the first time we cut our finger, we would have bled to death. And some have done some pretty good cutting, okay? You would have never been able, but God designed us to naturally heal like that, okay? So, tough stuff, it does good things. God will work all things together for good to those and for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. People who don't know Christ, it's going to be tough. It's really going to be tough for them. Very tough for them. But I was reading a story this morning, and so the verse to look at today is just Romans 8:18. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Whatever sufferings that you may go through. I was thinking about my dad and the sufferings he went through on that ship. He rarely, pried it out of him sometimes towards the end of his life and a little bit as we were growing up, but he rarely, if ever, talked about that. He didn't like ships. He didn't like airplanes. And he was an airplane mechanic, and he worked on airplanes, but he just wouldn't buy. From 1945, I think he might have got on one or two boats until he died in 1989. He got on one airplane and flew back to New Jersey one time. Back and forth. That was it. He just didn't like him, and he had a reason for it, because there was a horrific time of his life that was affiliated with an ugly thing, and he didn't want to go and revisit that. And I don't blame him, and I don't think any of us would. This story about this gal that it amazed me, because I've been going back and forth about this, and I've never looked up this woman, Audrey Wetherell Johnson. I'd never looked up her history. I'd never looked up her life. But you talk about suffering. Now, she is actually the gal that started the Bible Study Fellowship. And it's interesting how that started. I'm going to read you this little piece that Ann Graham Watts posted. But more than that, it's kind of turned into a huge business. I think their operating budget this year is $13.9 million. And they minister to millions of people, and it's a great program. It really is a great thing. But originally, I don't really know that she set it out to be that way. But it's interesting that she started this ministry of Bible Study Fellowship the year that my wife and I were born, which was 1952, when she somewhat began it. It actually didn't have its official beginning until 1959. But I just want to read what her past was, so you can see that glory definitely follows suffering. Ann Graham Lotz writes, bad things do happen to those Jesus loves. So you could say it this way, bad things happen to good people. It's true. No one's good, but with Christ in us, you know, we are. So bad things do happen to those who Jesus loves and who love Jesus. But remember this spiritual principle, that glory follows suffering and life follows death. That's the Christian creed. Life follows death. Remember that. Salvation by grace through faith. Miss Audrey Wetherell Johnson was a woman greatly beloved of God. She was born in England, educated throughout Europe. She was delivered from agnosticism and transformed by God's grace into a gifted Bible teacher and preacher. She answered God's call to the mission field in China during the 1930s. I'm going to stop for a minute and say she was an agnostic, and that's a lot of people are today. They think they're atheists, but what they really are, majority of people, are agnostics. I was agnostic and didn't know what it meant. You acknowledge that there's, you know, a higher, maybe God or something, but you really don't know who or what or how this whole thing works. And I'm just not too sure about that. You're not saying there is no God. There's no God. You're not that. There's a few of those people out there, and they're pretty silly. But she would just had a non-committed thing, and she got saved. She became born again. She's new. And she went to China during the 30s, which was a really rugged time. After years of teaching pastors and church leaders in a theological seminary in Beijing, Miss Johnson was scooped up with other missionaries and placed in a Japanese concentration camp for 3 years of intolerable and unmentionable suffering. I want to stop there and say that to spend time in a concentration camp, whether it be in Japan or a different country, or even more than that, in Germany, in one of the, you know, in Buchenwald and Dachau and you know, Ravensbrück, any of these places that are famous and horrible. We don't know the fullness of that. I think I was just reading last night about the horrors of staying and being locked into a prison camp. And I was reading Bonhoeffer's book by Metaxas on Bonhoeffer. And Bonhoeffer, it wasn't just 1941 through 45. It was, Hitler was killing Jews in 1936. We need to understand that it wasn't just that the huge influx, yes, was during the war, and especially towards the end of the war, even worse. But he was killing Jews because they were Jews in 1936, 37, 38, 39. During the Olympics, just prior to the Olympics, he had some people killed, basically slaughtered because they were coming against him. And what were they doing? A lot of them were believers in Christ. So horrific situations. And she's in an intolerable, unmentionable suffering. Yet watch this. Once again, we glimpse God's glory when we learn that Miss Johnson was finally released. What did she do? Came to America, and she began Bible study fellowship, an international ministry that now has approximately 1 million men and women who use her material and format to study God's word each week. So the question is going to get begged here in a minute. If something bad has happened to you, would you look forward to the glory that is coming? And I would say that most of us would say, I would love to be able to do that, but I don't usually do that. When something bad happens, the whole world comes apart. Remember what I said about the little kids building the fort or building the little thing or a model or a little toy, and it falls over and they just get so frustrated and they cry and they whine. And there are those that go, nope, they're going to put it back together. Nope, they're going to put it back together. Nope. You know, they don't give up, and they finally get it together, and they stand up proud. It might be rickety, but they were proud, and they didn't whine and cry. But there's others that are just like that, boom, just that quickly. It didn't work. Well, that's, I think, the way the majority of us are. Something bad happens, we're done. The whole world comes unglued. Everything should stop because my world has been ruined. But what God is teaching us is that the sufferings that we are involved in this present age, we shouldn't compare them to the glory which will be revealed in us. And will it be here? I don't know that. I don't know that any of us are going to be Miss Johnsons. I don't know that any of us are going to be just like Audrey Wetherell Johnson and start some phenomenal thing that's going to go on for years past our death. I don't know that. I would hope I would be able to do that for people to get tuned in to Christ and to glorify God, not anything about me. I would hope that I would leave that kind of a mark that would allow people to get into the Word of God. But I may not, but I'm going to press on like I can. And here's the bottom line. It's ultimately when I die is when life really begins, because it's eternal life that I had, and now it can be manifest for all time. Now, it starts here. We don't stop this life and then do some weird stuff and start another life, reincarnation junk. It's not. That's not the way it is. But tough things happen. You know, life is tough. Whether or not you cut your finger and it bleeds and it hurts and then you got to stop the bleeding, you want to stop the bleeding. You want the pain to stop. It's great when it stops. But in all reality, as many people have learned, and I just watched a guy last night that in 20 months he lost 425 pounds. How? By sweating. By working out and changing his diet. He was a drug-using slob, and he ended up being transformed. Now, it would be great if he came to know Christ. I don't think that has happened. But, you know, no pain, no gain. And so it's so true also. Had Jesus not gone to the cross and suffered and endured all that pain, you would have no gain. I would have no gain. We would have no way into heaven. None. And so he shed his blood for us. And so she actually went into harm's way, stayed in a country ministering to people that many times were not thankful, but those that were have continued on, and there still is a church, and there's people you can see today that are using and have used her material in China. A lot of underground stuff there, and I dare say, are we going to be that place here in the United States? I don't know. We could be anytime. We could have to go underground. Again, if the Supreme Court does, even if they don't do it this time and then later it gets brought up, if they bring into law things that make what we do illegal, then we have only two choices. To go underground, well, we have three. You can go underground, you can clandestinely stay above ground and try and get around things, or you can cave into what they want you to do. And it's going to be a really, really tough time. Is it going to happen in our lifetime? Well, it has in some respects already. I think more of it will. Is Jesus going to come back in our lifetime? I would like to say I think he is, but it's a feeling. I'm not going to get all name and dates and years and any of that kind of stuff, but I think we better be prepared. So I pray that the Lord would come in the middle of me speaking right now, but I want to prepare to have to live through even tougher things than we have. I look at my dad and I think about him being on that ship. And when a ship has a fire, there's nothing more disastrous, no matter how good of a swimmer or a maritime person you are, than when you're on a ship in the middle of the ocean, thousands upon thousands of miles from any kind of help, and there's a fire. It is horrific. You see, if you're in a house fire and there is an exit, and there's exits off the ship when it's burning, my dad watched people jump into the water. My dad watched people jump into the water. The problem when you had a United States aircraft carrier, United States Navy has an aircraft carrier that's burning and has been hit by two airplanes, there's oil all over the sea. You know what the oil's doing? It's burning. These men were jumping off that boat right into burning oil. So when they did get some of those men back up onto the ship, it was a very gruesome thing. Let's just leave it at that, okay? And my dad had to live through that, helping get these guys back up out of the water after they'd been burned in boiling hot, burning oil in the ocean. So when you're on a boat, there's really nowhere to go. In a house, you can, if you can get out, you can go outside, even if you just sit on the lawn, even if you just walk down the road. But in a ship, you can't. There's some tough, tough times there. And there's going to be some tough times coming in your life. And the only answer is going to be Jesus. All of us are having that. We can pray that it won't happen, and that would be great, but what if it does? Let's be prepared. It would be better to be prepared for those things. So if something bad does happen to us, can we look forward, even though it may be tough and even though it may take some time, but can we look forward to the glory that is coming? Because he says in his word, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul's telling the Romans that. But Jesus is speaking that to us. God says the same thing to us. His son says the same thing to us. The sufferings, the stuff we're going through right now, isn't worthy to be compared to the glory which will be revealed to us. And that glory is of God the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit in you. We need to face each day as the new day that he's given us. His mercies are new and we'll go forward. and press on towards the mark of the higher calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's our calling. So glory follows suffering. Don't forget that. We will be here tomorrow, which is the 20th. Will we be here Thursday too? Yes, 21st. But then we won't be back till the 26th because this is Memorial Day weekend. And quite honestly, it's thinking about my dad actually has passed and gone to be with Jesus. But he made it through that war, and a lot of his buddies did not. Many of the people that are World War II veterans were very, very quickly losing almost all of them. There may be a few, a handful left. The same with Korean War veterans. A lot of the youngest Korean War veterans are now in their 70s and 80s. So they're moving down. Even the people that work stateside, the riveter gals, all the people, the women that held down the fort while the men were away fighting, they're all in their 70s and 80s. And even some a little bit older than that. So the next group is our group, the people that were here and either stayed stateside or supported somehow the 10-year debacle called the Vietnam War. And if you look at the Vietnam veterans, most of them are in their mid to late 60s up into their 70s. So it's the next group of people that are slowly but surely going to be gone. They're going to be gone. And are we thinking about them? Memorial Day, thinking about those that didn't come home, not the ones that did come home, not the ones that didn't have to face the horrors of war, but the ones that didn't come home. And they didn't come home because they were taking a stand for your freedom. Let's think about that as we approach this weekend and celebrate Memorial Day. But we'll see you here tomorrow on the 20th, 11 o'clock.